Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of Indie Streak. As you know, I have many shows that are now archived here on Indie Streak that I've done already, interviewing other people in the business. Well, today I'm interviewing visual effects artist Dean Lyon, who's been involved in the business for over 25 years, including a lot of mainstream movies like Lord of the Rings, Armageddon, and Independence Day. But he's also trying to help the industry in South Florida thrive. Let's see if he's here on the line with us. Let's see. Okay, Dean, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi. Thank you for joining us. Well, I'm going to dive right into questions.
Okay.
Well, tell us a little bit about your journey through the film world. How did you get your start, and how did it lead you to the career that you've had?
In the beginning, I was born in Detroit, Michigan,
uh-huh.
And I escaped the winters, and I traveled to Los Angeles to surf and write poetry. And I ended up in film school out in Los Angeles. And when you're in film school, it's in L.A., it's fairly easy just to sort of migrate into the business.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked around at a lot of the kids that I was going to school with, and they all wanted to be directors. And I wasn't sure if there was enough jobs for all these directors, especially some of these people were downright talented. So I decided instead that I would go into post. And one of the advantages of being in post-production was that's exactly where visual effects grew from.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how did you get some of these big gigs that you landed?
Well, that was several years later. I actually talked about how I was in computer graphics before we had computers.
Mm-hmm.
The early days of special effects for film really involved a lot of mechanical and manual manipulation of the film itself. And as computers became more and more powerful, we suddenly realized that there might be a potential there. So I helped invent a computer graphic system that was used across the world that was the stepping stone for several other computer graphic systems, and therefore everybody kind of knew me around town as being the guy that had pushed computers into that process.
Hmm, okay. And so you just kind of networked and were able to get a lot of these great jobs, it sounds like.
Yeah, of course, you know, the bigger films were later on in my career, or I had a very, very minute hand in some of the early on projects. I guess that's the thing that I always emphasize is that film is a collaborative medium, so there's a lot of people working together, a lot of very talented and creative people working together. And after a while, people would just know me by my reputation, and you know, I always thought it was really ironic to think that you had to have a demo reel because I was getting work mm-hmm. and getting calls on projects without actually really having to do much more than just return a call.
And what is your process? Do you get to see basically what's in the can and then you do it all in post, or do they bring you in pre-production and you start planning with them, or do you get on the set? Like, how exactly does that work for a visual effects artist?
Yeah, so like I said, I've been in it since the very beginning, so it was kind of an interesting learning process, not only for those of us that do that, but also those who had to work with us. I give a seminar called Visual Effects and Computer Graphics for the Independent Filmmaker,
mm-hmm.
and I've been using that as a way of getting people, you know, interested in understanding our process.
Uh-huh. Are there a couple tips that you can give?
In that seminar, I point out the fact that the best projects I've ever worked on are ones where two people called me up and said that they were writing a screenplay and they thought visual effects might help drive the story. And the worst projects I've ever worked on is my wife's sister's barber shot this, can you help us fix it?
Right.
So it seems as if seems as if the range is there. As a part of my seminar, I talk about the way to do visual effects and computer graphics efficiently and economically is to be a part of the planning stage as early on as possible and continue that process all the way through.
Mm-hmm. And I know you also talk about how an independent filmmaker can use special effects very easily, maybe not easily, but at least not too expensive for the project. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so where this all came from was my decision to stay here in Florida and to grow a business called Splinter Studios. I realized that if I was going to stay in South Florida, that I would need to attract the type of projects that I was used to working on, either that or create them from scratch. So mm-hmm. we do have an interest in making our own movies, making our own shows. Part of that, I think, is to grow a local film industry. And that certainly was a lesson that I learned spending time in New Zealand, that New Zealand had a very long tradition, very prosperous film industry. That's what made Xena and Hercules possible. Xena and Hercules is what made Lord of the Rings possible. So it was because they had this long-term film industry is why they were able to handle those levels of international projects. And mm-hmm. I think the same challenge is here in Florida. We should create a local film industry and based on that industry be able to hire our graduates, keep our talent here, and create our own projects and our own films. And as a result, we'll become a resource for any international projects as well.
Are there certain things that we have to do here in South Florida to be able to attract these companies other than just, you know, giving them an incentive? Are there other things the culture needs to do to change in order to bring people from Los Angeles here?
Right. So, I mean, I guess it's a two-topic conversation there, because one thing is to grow your own local film industry. The second thing is to attract Hollywood projects.
Mm-hmm.
And attracting Hollywood projects, we all look at incentives as being the way to do it. We also look at it where we're in competition with every other state.
Right.
I went through that process in New Zealand, so I'm very, very familiar with what it took to put New Zealand on the map and to actually have Hollywood seriously look at them. And I think the most interesting piece of advice I got from one of the executives at a Hollywood studio was we use 6 or 7 criteria to decide whether or not a film goes to a particular location. And one of those may be the incentives.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not entirely incentive-driven. What Peter Jackson and I had decided early on was that attracting movies to shoot in New Zealand was not that big of a win, that the real win is when they stay and finish. Because when they mm-hmm. stay and finish, then they take advantage of the local talent, the local industry, the local infrastructure. And as his commitment to that, he actually, you know, built a huge empire primarily to do his own projects, but it's also been available for other filmmakers such as Jim Cameron, Avatar, Steven Spielberg, 10-10. So they've brought those sorts of projects to New Zealand because of the infrastructure that Peter Jackson built.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to me that the state of Florida, if they're really serious about attracting international projects, the first step is to build this infrastructure. And we've seen a lot of other countries in the world that have said that's what we want to be. And you have to make a 30-year plan, and you have to start investing in education. You have to train investors that this is an industry that they want to invest in. You know, it's a big, long process, and it takes a big commitment.
And I know that you are busy trying to kind of steer the future of the industry, and you're involved in a lot of projects locally here. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, so my company, Splinter Studios, besides being a visual effects and computer graphics services company, is also really dedicated to the next generation of technology and processes mm-hmm. for doing visual effects and computer graphics. And so we want to create some really cutting edge technology. We think by throwing supercomputing back at visual effects, we can actually make it more cost effective. Along with that, we also want to create our own content, as I mentioned before, but the content is our own projects are great because it allows us to test, as case studies, all of the technology and process ideas that we have. So to that end, I have partnered up with a group in downtown Fort Lauderdale. It's called mm-hmm. Studioni, mm-hmm. and under the roof there is a filmmaker, photographer, Peter Langoni. He and I met a couple years ago when we worked on a commercial for FLIF, the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival. And when I realized that his future was to make movies, I thought, here's a guy that I'd love to team up with. We have since rebranded that location on Federal Highway there in downtown Fort Lauderdale as the movie studio.
Right.
And the concept mm-hmm. here is that we will become the first fully integrated motion picture studio in Fort Lauderdale. When I say fully integrated, I mean everything from concept all the way out to finishing,
mm-hmm.
As well as distribution. So we've now kind of put our focus on that. And the first project that we have on the books is Peter's film, The Point Man.
Mm-hmm. Right. How's that going?
So it's going great. So we're in a process now where we're putting together our packaging so that we can go out and grab some investment. He's got signed to the movie Ron Perlman from mm-hmm. Sons of Anarchy, Hellboy, and also Eric Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
So with a couple of big names, we're pushing forward. On the team, we also have a producer out in Los Angeles who has produced many feature films, a screenwriter who is well-known in the industry. And so we've put together a really interesting team to make this relatively small independent film. But we see that as sort of a calling card then to begin to create a slate of projects that we want to work on right out of the studio in Fort Lauderdale.
Great. Perfect. I know you are involved in some other major projects as well. Is there any other projects that you can talk about yet?
I have a second company, I suppose, is the best way to describe it, called The Lab.
Mm-hmm.
And The Lab is a collaboration between myself and Douglas Trumbull,
mm-hmm.
Who was the tech supervisor on 2001,
exactly.
Among other things. A lot of people only point out that Doug did that. And then also another friend of mine, James Fancher from Los Angeles, who is an industry-recognized futurist. He's been leading the way with technology for many, many years.
Okay.
The three of us have decided that high-resolution, high frame rate 3D is the way to go for feature film production. And so we've actually sort of stuck our necks out and pushed the envelope on the current thinking. And we've actually attracted quite a bit of attention, not mm-hmm. the least of which Jim Cameron has been quoted in a number of magazine articles saying that he's not going to do Avatar 2 until he can get a hold of Doug Trumbull's technology.
Great.
So that's kind of an interesting pushing the envelope project that we're working on. It was kind of funny. I was standing out in the parking lot at Studioni, the movie studio in Fort Lauderdale, saying mm-hmm. it's kind of interesting to be in Fort Lauderdale and defining the future of Hollywood.
It's a good feeling, huh?
Okay. I guess it kind of is the lesson that I learned from being 10 years in New Zealand, is that these days it doesn't really matter where you are. I guess mm-hmm. what matters is the ability to get in front of the decision makers and to find the investment.
I know that James Cameron also used your technology for Avatar, the first film. Can you tell us a little bit about your 3D grading system that you put together?
Yeah, I mean, that was the reason why I ended up in Florida. I was actually recruited from New Zealand to Coral Springs, Florida, at first to consult with DaVinci Systems, mm-hmm. and then later on to join them as a full-time member of their team. And what interests me in DaVinci is it was a very, very high-end computer graphics system that was invented right here in Fort Lauderdale. They've been here for 25 years. I'd had many interactions with DaVinci over the years, having worked on their equipment as an artist, having owned their equipment, and also having consulted with them several times before. My interest with DaVinci was that they needed someone to help drive it into the future. Mm-hmm. So my job with DaVinci was to sweep out the technology from the laboratory that they had and get all the newest and latest and greatest stuff out into the field. Having come in from the battlefield, I told them that two of the most important things to do was to do 4K, so much, much higher resolution capability, and also stereoscopic 3D. Mm-hmm. It was really interesting with an engineering-led company. They kept saying to me, oh, no, 3D is only for Hollywood. It's only for Hollywood. As it turns out, it's become quite an international technology. So it's a good thing we pushed ahead and got that machine finished because that's what made mm-hmm. finishing up Avatar possible.
Mm-hmm. Right. They did their a lot of their color correcting through that as well?
Yeah, so that was what it was. It's a finishing system, so it did the final mm-hmm. conform or edit as well as color correction, as well as these days in 3D, because it's a relatively new process, a few fixes here and there. Then it was announced that, oh, by the way, DaVinci's for sale, so I helped package up the company and sell it to Blackmagic in Singapore.
Oh, wow.
So we closed down the factory in Coral Springs, put a number of people on the street, unfortunately, and the whole entire business, technology, and intellectual property moved to Singapore.
Wow. There's a lot of people involved in these projects, aren't there? There's not just you. It's a whole team involved in each of these projects. It's a lot of people.
Yes. In fact, DaVinci was quite a large company in its day. Hundreds of people out there. And everything from literally rocket scientists to artists. So it was quite an amazing mix of talent and dedication that DaVinci had. Moving the company offshore sort of woke me up to the idea of what exactly is going on in the film industry in Florida. I thought DaVinci was a huge loss. And in fact, we even lobbied local government to try to see if we could keep DaVinci here. But there just, as I mentioned before, there just wasn't enough investment, government commitment to keep a company that was involved in the motion picture industry globally in the state of Florida.
Right.
So I took a look at where we were, and, you know, at one point, Florida was number three. You would either be doing a project in California, New York, or Florida. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the first threat was Dallas, Texas, decided they were the third coast. And they began to chisel away at Florida being the number three option. Of course, we have that huge commitment up in Orlando with Disney and Universal having built studios. And in the heyday, that was really a teeming place. I knew a lot of people in Los Angeles who were recruited or opted to move to Orlando. When I did the survey after we sold DaVinci, I discovered that Florida was actually about 43.
Wow, okay.
So we have
a long ways to
go. Yeah, I mean, that was a couple of years ago.
Okay.
We have a long ways to go to crawl our way back up on the recognition scale as, you know, being the place to go to do projects, not just feature films, but TV series, documentaries, whatever else comes out of the media and entertainment industry. And so that's why I think it's so critical that we gather together as a group and that we get the government interested in pushing the industry. And so that has a lot to do with these seminars that I've been giving around the state, is I'm really trying to get some momentum behind the independent film industry idea.
Mm-hmm. So how could someone, if you want someone to contact you to collaborate, I don't know if that's something you want to do and announce on here, but if you want to give a website or email or somehow they can find out more about you or your projects or contact you, I'll let you do that now.
Yeah, so certainly they could get a hold of me through splinterstudios.com. So it's
okay.
A single splinter and multiple studios, and as well as studioni1.com.
Mm-hmm.
Either of those two locations is where we are here in downtown Fort Lauderdale. And if people are interested, I'd love to hear from them. And also we're interested in hearing from investors as well as people that make differences within the government.
Okay. How do you spell Studioni 1 so that everybody knows? That's kind of maybe a hard one.
You write studio, which ends with an O. You just add an N-E. That makes it
okay.
Studio 1. And then the numeral 1 to emphasize that, .com. I think it comes up pretty quickly in the Google search.
Yeah, how much square footage is in that studio? It's really quite large.
That's 10,000 square feet. A good chunk of that is our two stages. We have a psych in a three-quarter psych in one corner, and we've also just put in a massive green screen wall.
Mm-hmm.
So both of those are pre-lit, and we also offer equipment rentals such as additional lights, audio equipment, cameras. And we are very interested, as I said, in the independent film industry, so independent filmmakers get special deals.
Oh, great. Good. So, again, they just go to that Studioni 1 website, and they can contact you through there.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. Any final thoughts? We're kind of running out of time, but anything else that you want to make sure that you get out there to the world?
pretty much gone down through my list. Like I said, I am doing this visual effects and computer graphics for the independent filmmaker. It is a paid seminar, so you have to pay to attend. But I get quite a deep history into where it all came from, where it's all going, and as independent filmmakers, how you can do it very economically, believe it or not. So the concept is it's not just for Lord of the Rings, it's for any project.
Mm-hmm. And if somebody wants to attend your seminar, is there one coming up, or how do they know when the next one is?
Yeah, so you'll find that on splinterstudios.com.
Okay.
We also have a Splinter Studios on Facebook.
Okay.
And it also
I know you had a seminar at the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival this year as well.
And it also shows up on the Studio One blog, by the way. The ones I do for the film festival are, of course, free of charge, but they're also only about a half hour long. And it's really just kind of an introduction to pique people's interest into what I'm doing, as well as to come along and attend the four-hour or half-day seminar.
Oh, okay. 4 hours. Okay, great. That's a lot of information. Wonderful. Well, great. Well, I thank you for coming on the show today, and I think we've covered pretty much everything you can cover, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dean, and I will talk to you later. I'll let you go. Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. Well, you just listened to Dean Lyon, and as he said, he has some great seminars that you can find out more about by going to his Splinter Studios website. Also, he mentioned Studioni 1, the studio that he works out of in Fort Lauderdale area, where they have the studio available for independent filmmakers along with equipment rental. It's a really nice studio, and his little team over there is a great team of people. Peter Langone is amazing. He does. He's also a photographer, does some excellent work. A lot of celebrity photographs, and like they said, they're working on a feature film right now that involves a couple heavy hitters, so I'm sure that they're going to get that funded and off the ground. So hopefully they will be bringing more films here to South Florida and also making films from the locals here in the area, which will get some attention from Hollywood. So hopefully we will move our ranking up from 43 back to number 3 or, hey, maybe number 1. You never know. But thank you for tuning in today. Remember that I have a lot of archives here on the site. I've interviewed a lot of other filmmakers that you may want to go back and listen to, other people in the industry, including Scott Cardinal, who is a documentary filmmaker. Also, Steve Waxman, another documentary filmmaker, Amy Glazer, who did a feature film not too long ago, and Rick Cartas, writer of Walk a Mile in My Pradas. So I've interviewed a little bit of everybody, and I wanted to let you know that this episode was sponsored by DemoReelWorkshop.com, and if you want to be a sponsor for the show, you can contact me, or if you're a filmmaker or someone in the industry that would like to be a guest, you can contact me as well. My personal email is ravenprods@yahoo.com. That's ravenprods@yahoo.com. And I'll be interviewing people from all over the world that are involved in the industry. I am going to try to keep it to people that somehow have an independent connection and that have some major projects out there that either you can listen to their, you know, you can watch their film somehow, you can IMDb them, you can find out what they're doing, and hopefully people that already have projects out there, not ones that are just getting started. So this show is primarily geared toward those types of individuals, and you never know who I'll be interviewing next. So you definitely want to stay tuned. I have the show every Sunday at 1 p.m., right here on Blog Talk Radio, and I will be announcing soon who the next guest will be for next week. So if you want to find out who it is, you can just come back on the site and you can look at the upcoming shows and see who I'm interviewing next, okay? And also make sure you check out my other show, which is called Basics of the Biz. It's here also on blogtalkradio.com/basicsofthebiz. And on that show, I talk a little bit about the acting industry specifically, and it is just me giving some personal tips from my long career off and on in the acting industry. And I've worked on a lot of independent projects myself, and I talk about everything, including headshots, resumes, unions, classes, a little bit of everything, tricks of the trade for actors out there. So you want to check that out. Like this show, it has archives as well that you can scroll down, and I've done a lot of shows. That show, if you want to listen to it live and ask me questions, that show is at 1 o'clock in the morning on Thursdays. I know it's in the wee hours of the morning, so I understand if you don't listen live, but you may want to go back and check out the archives. Also, check out Palm Beach County Filmmakers on Facebook. They have a lot of events coming up, including one on January 28th at E.R. Bradley's at 7 o'clock, and that's a meet and mingle event. They also have a website as well. I think it's Palm Beach PalmBeachCountyFilmmakers.com. I'm not positive, but if you look on Facebook, you can find them. But anyway, I am running out of time here on Indie Streak, but I thank you again for tuning in. And please do check back and let me know on my email if you have any questions, concerns, issues. you want to be a guest, you want to be a sponsor, let me know. I'm happy to listen to you and respond as quickly as I can. But once again, thank you for listening to Indie Streak, and I will be back next week, same bat channel, same bat time, and I will talk to you then. Thank you. Bye-bye.